The next case is 04-305, Monongahela Power Company versus the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio. Ms. Trafford.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Justices, Mr. Lindzen, Mr. Randazzo, Mr. Benton. I'm Kathleen Trafford, and I'm appearing this morning on behalf of the appellant, Monongahela Power. Also at council table is my partner, Dan Conway. May it please the court. This is not your typical PUCO appeal. In this case this morning, we're not going to be talking about complicated economic theories. We're not going to be addressing technical accounting issues or other technical rate-making issues. We're not going to be addressing these kind of technical issues that might otherwise require the court to defer to the special expertise of the Public Utilities Commission. The issue in this case is whether the commission can unilaterally repudiate a settlement agreement 3 years after the fact, after it approved that agreement in a final order in which it found that that settlement agreement benefited ratepayers, was in the public interest, and fully complied with the requirements of law. That's the issue in this case. And I would submit, Your Honor, that is an issue that is well within the experience and expertise of this court.
Counsel, the settlement agreement, was that contingent on the levels being achieved through the marketing plan?
No, Your Honor, it was not.
It was that the agreement was silent as to the progress to be made on the marketing distribution plan, I think it's called.
It was a transition plan. Mm-hmm. The settlement agreement was very specific. The settlement agreement addressed numerous terms. The terms that is at issue here in this case is the termination of what's known as the market development period.
Right.
And the settlement agreement was very specific as to that term. All the parties to the settlement agreement agreed that the market development period for Mon Power's large commercial and industrial customers would terminate on December 31st, 2003. That was the agreement of the parties in the settlement agreement. In the settlement agreement, the parties stipulated and agreed that Mon Power, as part of their transition plan, would apply to the commission for authority to end the market development period for the large commercial and industrial customers on December 31st, 2003. The settlement agreement, which we have included in the appendix, was very clear in stating that the parties were supporting a present application to the commission to end the market development period as part of the approval of Mon Power's transition plan. And it was unconditional. The settlement agreement did not condition the approval, the commission's approval, or the party's recommendation that the market development period be ended on any future events.
Counsel, consider the settlement agreement something other than the application for the early termination?
No, it was really part and parcel, Your Honor.
There's no other way of looking at that. Is that what you're saying?
In the settlement agreement, the parties agreed that they would support the termination of the market development period. The settlement agreement said, by this settlement agreement, we, the parties, are applying to the commission for authorization to end the market development period. They were asking the commission to end the market development period as part of its approval of the transition plan. And that's exactly what the commission did. We've heard argument before this court from the commission that they really didn't end the market development period as part of the transition plan. And your honors, I don't believe the commission is being candid with you. I don't believe the commission is being straight. The question of whether the commission, when it approved that settlement agreement, ended the market development period is really a question of fact, and it's answered in the record in this case. And it's answered in the record that's all one-sided as to this issue. There is uncontroverted, compelling evidence in the record, in the commission's own words, that when they adopted the party's settlement agreement in this case, they ended the market development period for the large commercial and industrial customers as of December 31st, 2003.
What's your take on their motivation for going back on this commitment?
Their motivation for reneging on the commitment? Your Honor, the commission is reneging on the commitment because things in the market, in the wholesale power market, didn't happen as they hoped and as other people hoped. The commission is reneging on their agreement, on their final order, because it's going to result in rates being increased as opposed to decreased for this handful, these 68 large industrial customers. They're reneging on the agreement because they don't like the result, but the law does not give them the right to do it. What it was accomplished in that settlement agreement, what was approved in the transition plan order, what Mon Power has done for the last 3 years has all been in accordance with the law as written by the General Assembly. Everything Mon Power has done has been as a result of the Electric Restructuring Act, the actual statutes. It's been a result of the settlement agreement and the approval by the commission.
What is your, I obviously read the brief, but what I'd like to hear your response to the argument of the 20% switching rate. That seems to be the nub of the problem here, is it not? That the argument is over who has to, that your client has to show that there's been at least 20% switching to the competition factor, switching to another supplier, and that the timing of that is an issue. Am I correct?
You are correct, Your Honor. I think the real heart of the case for the court to decide, there's really two issues. The first is the issue whether the commission really did end the market development period and is reneging in the current order. And the second issue is the issue you point out, Justice Moyer. It's really an interpretation of the statute. The statute at the heart of this case is 4928.40. That's the statute that talks about the authority of the commission to end the market development period. And what's significant about this statute is it has three separate parts that address this issue of whether and when the commission has authority to end the market development period. The first part of the statute is in the very first paragraph of 4928.40A. The first paragraph of that statute, and we've included it in our appendix if you have it before you at page 250. That very first paragraph says the commission has the authority to prescribe the early end for a market development period. It can prescribe something short of December 31st, 2005. And what's significant in that first paragraph is the General Assembly says it can make that determination as part of its order approving a transition plan. So it need not wait to the end of the market development period.
The way I read that and interpreted that is if a utility met those standards sooner, met the 20% standards or the switching standards sooner, then there's no need for them to make them wait the 5 years they've met the test. I didn't read that as giving the commission authority to ignore those standards and create something else in an agreement.
And we're not ignoring those standards, Justice Stratton. The standards that the commission focuses on are the standards in subsection B of 4928.40. And that is where the General Assembly says the commission is authorized to have the early end of the market development period if there's either 20% switching or effective competition. But the third part of the statute, the second paragraph of 4928.40A, is very significant. It's equally significant because in that paragraph, the General Assembly identifies the factors the commission may determine in deciding to end the market development period early. in essence, what the General Assembly has done in the second paragraph of 49-2840A is to define what they're talking about when they're talking about effective competition. And look at what they identify in those factors. The very first factor listed in the second paragraph of 49-2840A, among the non-exclusive list of factors the General Assembly can consider in deciding whether to end the market development period, whether to prescribe an earlier end for the market development period, the very first factor listed is the total allowable amount of transition costs. And I promised I wouldn't use technical terms, so we don't have to really debate what that is. What's significant is what the General Assembly says in 49-2840A, the second paragraph, is it gives the Commission the express authority to consider the total amount of allowable transition costs and consider that as a factor defining whether or not the statutory requirements have been met. And that's exactly what happened in this case. The parties in their settlement agreement said to the Commission, we the parties, Mon Power, the industrial energy users, the Ohio Manufacturers Association, the Ohio Council of Retail Merchants, the PUCO staff itself, all agreed that based upon what Mon Power was agreeing to in the settlement agreement with respect to transition costs, that based upon Mon Power's willingness to forego transition costs, that in fact that established the factor needed under 49-2840A, the second paragraph. They agreed that that established it, the effective competition and met the statutory requirements. And the Commission agreed.
How do we read then 40B2 together with the second paragraph of 40A? 40B2 seems to be pretty explicit. I mean, it's.
Your Honor, I think you have to read them together as you would any other parts of the same statute. What the General Assembly has said in 49-28B2 is, if the Commission decides that there is effective competition.
That's when you go back to the second paragraph.
And how does the Commission decide that? You go back to the second paragraph of 49-2840A, and those are the factors the General Assembly has told the Commission it may consider, among others, to exercise its discretion to prescribe a future ending date for the market development period that's less than December 31st, 2003. I would submit, Your Honors, that the Mon Power's interpretation of the statute is the only interpretation you're hearing in this case that gives effect to all three parts of the statute. The Commission wants you to focus on the subsection B and completely ignore what the General Assembly has said in the second paragraph in 49-28.40A.
Counsel, I guess I'm a little confused. If one of the criteria is the effect of competition contained in the statute, by definition, when this settlement agreement was hammered out, there was no effect of competition.
There was effective competition as defined by the factors in the second paragraph.
Because of the forbearance of the 20% transition costs?
Exactly. That is what the parties in the Commission said. That was what was
creating. That's going to take the place of the 20% transition and the cost associated with that.
Absolutely, Your Honor. And in fact, one other very important piece of this to understand is just 2 weeks before the Commission decided the Mon Power case, in the Dayton Power and Light case, 2 weeks before, there was a similar provision in the settlement agreement to have an early end to the market development period for Dayton Power and Light.
And did they forbear on those transitional costs for their customers as well?
Yes, they did. There was an intervener in that case, Your Honor, who came forward and challenged the settlement agreement and said to the Commission, you don't have the authority to do this. You cannot end the market development period early, citing exactly the same argument the Commission is making here today. The Commission flat out rejected that argument looked at the factors Dayton was arguing, which are exactly the factors in the second paragraph of the statute, and said, yes, we do have the authority to end the market development period. 2 weeks before the
And then what happened with that case, those parties, that settlement agreement?
That settlement agreement was also approved with the same provision that the market development period would end early. In 2003, Dayton Power and Light came back to the commission and voluntarily asked to extend the market development period. And the commission has done that in the Dayton Power and Light
case. What was the rationale for their voluntary extension?
That they wanted the period to be longer. They came back with a second settlement agreement. Dayton agreed and their interveners agreed that now they wanted a longer development period. There could be many different reasons why. Presumably, it's that they wanted to extend the time that they could recover.
Well, the bottom line is then the rates were frozen during that extended period of time.
Yes, yes. The rates are frozen during the market development period. And the significance here, of course, is also 492814 says once the market development period ends, the electric utility has the right, the statutory right, to charge market-based rates. And that's the right Mon Power is before this court today seeking to assert. With the approval of the market development period ending on December 31st, 2003, Mon Power had a statutory right to come in and ask to have market-based rates established. That was the application in this proceeding. And that's the application the commission used to turn around and renege on its prior final order.
Thank you, Ms. Trafford.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. McNamee. Mr. McNamee, you and Mr. Randazzo have split your
yes.
time. The red light will come on at 12 minutes, but the clock will continue to run, so you need to watch for the red light.
All right. Thank you very much, Your Honor. Let me first address Dayton Power and Light. The appellant here, I believe, has directed the court to the wrong provision of the Dayton Power and Light order. Let me read you the correct provision of the Dayton Power and Light order. It's in a paragraph entitled Commission's Conclusion. It says, we believe that inasmuch as SB 3 permits the commission to authorize the end of a MDP, market development period, prior to December 1st, 2005, if there is a 20% switching rate by a particular class of customer, the approval of such through this order as part of the stipulation is not unreasonable nor contradictory to Section 4928.40B Revised Code. That's what the Commission did. It was conditional, just as it was here.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear your last.
Oh, it was conditional, just as it was here.
Do you have language to that effect in the
Your Honor,
proceedings as they involve Monongahela Power?
With 4 years of hindsight, I wish we had. There isn't that same kind of language, but the commission is a creature of statute. It only has the power that the General Assembly has given it. And the way you get the power, the way the commission gets the power to end the market development period earlier than the five-year period of time specified by statute. The only way the commission has that power is through 492840B2. Now, the other provisions talk about once you have the power, when do you exercise it?
Let me ask you another question that I asked opposing counsel. Would you consider the settlement agreement entered into by Monongahela and the other parties to be an application for an early termination? Is she correct?
Oh, yeah, she's quite correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And the stipulation is no one was fooled here, Your Honor. The stipulation is very clear that the standards under 4928.40B2 apply. It recites the statute and it recites the four criteria that have to be met. It even says that stipulation should be viewed as the first step, the first statutory requirement to end the market development period early. It says it should be an application. That's the first step the law requires. But asking isn't enough. The second step that's required is there has to be an affirmative showing by the utility of either 20% switching, which is not in play here, no one has switched at all, or the existence of effective competition. There's no such showing. It's not there. It doesn't exist. There was no basis for the commission in the market development period early. It didn't have the power. Yes, ma'am.
Let me see. Tell me if I've got your argument correct, that you made this agreement, but the agreement in PUCO's opinion was contingent on the fact that this either switching or this competition or this 20% was going to be reached in 3 years, that Mon Power believed it was going to reach that in 3 years, and that's why they made the agreement and foregoed the transition costs.
Now fast forward
3 years, there's no competition, there's no switching, but they want to now go to market rates. And that you're saying they never met the goals of the agreement, even though the agreement didn't say that specifically?
Indeed, and it never met the statutory criteria. The commission doesn't have the power to do what appellant says it did. It only has the power under statute. I'm sorry?
Tell me why Ms. Trafford is incorrect by leading us to point 40, the second paragraph in 40A, and arguing that that really is effective competition, the forbearance of the transition cost. What's wrong with that argument?
It's very difficult for me to see. If you imagine yourself as a consumer, I guess that part's easy to see. It's hard to imagine why the company's refusal to collect, giving up the opportunity to collect stranded costs gives me an effective choice in my electric supplier. It doesn't follow. It's not tight. The criteria that she's pointing to in A are important. Because remember, this stipulation was in the context of restructuring the entire operation of the utility, breaking their rates up into their component parts and figuring out the amount of stranded costs to be collected, and quite a complex undertaking. And once the commission had the ability under law, under B2, to end the market development period, the examination doesn't stop there. You have to decide when to exercise that power. Even if there's effective competition, say today, there isn't, but if, say there were, the commission would have had to have decided, well, is that enough to end the market development period early? Because if we end the market development period early, then the companies don't get the stranded costs they're supposed to get, or maybe the market conditions are changing. I don't know. But the commission has to make that determination about when to exercise the power.
That's well, counsel, if they're not getting their stranded costs to begin with.
Although they did, every dime.
But the representation is that became the competitive effective competition. By not collecting that, there's a benefit bestowed on their users. They're not billing them for their stranded costs.
That would be a benefit, but that doesn't translate into either effective competition or 20% switching. It's just not.
I understand that.
Tight.
I understand that,
and that's what the law requires.
My understanding further then is the forbearance on those transition costs or stranded costs was kind of like a substitute consideration for the 20% switchover or, you know, the effective competition component of Section B? And everybody agreed to that? Is that what the argument is here?
Apparently, they believe that there was an agreement amongst all these parties to read the law in a way the law clearly does not, and that the commission does not provide, and that the commission agreed with that. That can't be. The law is very plain. There are four steps that have to be met for the commission to have the power to end the market development period early. You have to have an application. We have that here. You have to have an affirmative showing by the utility of the existence either of 20% switching or effective competition. We didn't have that during when the stipulation was signed. We couldn't. Competition was illegal at that point in time. This was done in October of 2000. It was not permitted under law for there to be competition in the state at that point in time. So there was no showing. Until the first effort at that was the result of the bid, and the bid was a failure. The commission found, based on that bid, that effective competition doesn't exist. Without effective competition, the commission could not end the market development period early and could not approve the application below.
Counsel?
Yes, sir.
Is it an unfair characterization to say the commission, the stipulations that were agreed to, that's a contract, is it not?
It may be a contract between the parties who are putting that in front of the commission, but it's
and
not.
A contract that to which the commission agreed, correct? They put their stamp of approval on it.
Your Honor, the commission simply issues orders under law. It's not bound by contracts. You don't bargain with the regulator that way.
The commission doesn't seem to be bound by much of anything. This agreement's submitted. They agree to it. You don't want to call it a contract. And when it doesn't work out the way they contemplated, they can point to the statute and say, well, we really didn't have authority to put our stamp of approval on this, so we're walking away from it. Is that too harsh a characterization of what the commission did?
Yes, Your Honor. I think that's,
in,
that's
in
not
what way?
A fair characterization at all. The commission is simply bound by statute. It can only...
Well, then why didn't they point out to the parties at the beginning, look, if this doesn't work out, if nirvana isn't achieved here, then all bets are off and we're back in the regulation business.
I certainly wish that the language had been clearer at the time.
Well,
but
whose fault is that, though? Isn't that the commission's fault for not calling that to the attention of
everyone knew
the stakeholders?
Your Honor, everyone knew how the statute worked. This was these transition cases occurred immediately after the new bill had been passed. Everybody who was involved in working up this legislation. Everybody knew the criteria. The stipulation itself lays out the criteria. You don't have compliance with the controlling law. It's not there. The commission didn't make the finding.
Would it be unfair to characterize this whole process as a sort of a shotgun wedding? Nobody was really happy to be there. The commission really didn't believe in this. The utility companies
Actually, it's sort of the other way around, Your Honor. I think everyone thought in 2000 that this would go smoothly, that there wouldn't be a problem. And the commission thought that if you look at the orders.
I mean,
the
but getting to the point of the legislation, I mean, nobody was a happy participant in the legislation, were they?
That's true. It was a very contentious bill and took a long time. It took quite a number of sessions, and no one was fully satisfied, I'm sure.
In response to Justice Pfeiffer's question on page 2 of the order that's before us, paragraph 6, this is the commission's order. On October 5th, 2000, by opinion and order, the commission approved. Commission approved Monpar's ETP and stipulation filed on January 3rd, 2000 and June 22nd, 2000, subject to filing and compliance tariffs. That sounds as if the commission did approve the stipulation. Is that correct?
It accepted the stipulation insofar as it could. It wasn't possible. What the stipulation says
when it
is
says
take
approve,
this.
I guess to me, approve means something more than just accept it and for what it, you know, here it is, commission, here it, we're going to file it. Approve, doesn't approve suggest that there's some value judgment placed on the stipulation?
And I wish they had phrased it more clearly, but
well, but we have before us, you know, that's not, you can't get off that easily. I mean, we have the words of the commission knows how to write orders. They do it all the time.
And what was being asked of them was to treat this as an application, and they did treat it as an application. But there is no finding that effective competition exists in this order. It doesn't exist. Without that finding, you cannot have the market development period end early. The law doesn't allow it.
Well, that's a different issue.
And you don't have...
That's the substantive issue.
You don't have any affirmative showing of the evidence that the law requires. It's not there. You can ask, but that's not enough. The commission doesn't have the power. It didn't have the power at the time. It doesn't have the power today because effective competition still doesn't exist.
What would be a showing of under that 40A, second paragraph of 40A, what, in your view, the commission's view, what would be a showing of effective competition? Can you give me an example? Or is it...
That would be difficult to say, Your Honor. This is the only instance where the commission has ever spoken to the issue, and they probably will never speak to it again. This is a transitional issue, and since the Dayton Power and Light case, which you heard an appeal about 2 weeks ago, is the only other situation where it could have come up. It's not at all likely the commission would address it again. What I can say is that the circumstances that the commission saw here with only one other bidder much higher prices from the utility, that clearly is not effective competition. Your Honor, the law is clear. The commission followed it, and I'd like to let Mr. Randazzo speak.
Thank you, Mr. McNamee. Mr. Randazzo, you have a minute and 10 seconds.
May it please the court. Let me be brief, as I must. 492840A refers specifically to 492840B. 492840A says the market development period will not end unless authorized under B. So the business about what's in A is largely irrelevant to the question that's before the court. As a practical matter, what's in A deals with the ability of the commission to accelerate the end date of stranded cost or transition cost collection. Different section of the law, 492840A, deals with a different end date than B. In any event, A says you got to go to B to end the market development period.
Counsel, your co-counsel said that this company has, in fact, recovered all of its stranded costs. What does that mean?
Your Honor, in 492837, another part of the restructuring legislation, deals with the mechanisms by which the utility recovers its transition or stranded costs. It recovers it two ways, once through a specific transition charge, and once, and in the other way is through continuing to collect the rates that were established by the General Assembly through the market development period without any discounts or any adjustments. And that section gives Mon Power, if there is no shopping, and there clearly wasn't no shopping in this case, it gives Monongahela Power the ability to continue to charge the rates that included the stranded cost or the transition cost as long as the market development period continues. So Mon Power is still collecting transition costs as defined by 492837 of the Ohio Revised Code.
Thank you, Mr. Randazzo.
Thank you.
Ms. Trafford, you've used your time, but you may take 30 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor. We make just two quick points. One, as we've already discussed, we believe that the statute did give the commission the authority, the discretion to end the market development period based upon all the parties' stipulation that the conditions, particularly focusing on the absence or the company's agreement to forego the transition cost, did create effective competition. But even if this court were to disagree, I submit to you that it would not change the outcome of this case. The commission issued a final order in 2000 that said that it was going to end the market development period. There's no ambiguity in what the commission did. Its press release, issued the same day as its order, says under the terms of the stipulation, which was adopted by the order, the market development period ends for large customers on December 31st, 2003, and for small customers on December 31st, 2005.
What is your response to Mr. Randazzo's disagreement with you about the effectiveness of, or the application of point 40A, the second paragraph? He said it doesn't apply, so it's irrelevant here.
You can't say a paragraph written by the General Assembly is irrelevant. They've given you no interpretation of that statute that gives meaning to that paragraph. And we submit under the most plainest rules of statutory construction, you have to give meaning to that second paragraph. And that second paragraph said, these are the factors the commission, in its discretion, may consider these factors are not exclusive. They can consider these factors and others in deciding to end the market development period. That has to be the statutory definition of effective competition. Because if not, one, there is no definition of effective competition, and two, there would be no meaning to those words. You have to give meaning to those words in the statute, and that's exactly what the parties in the stipulation did. They took the words right out of the statute and said, we all agree that the forbearance, the willingness to forego transition costs create the necessary authority for the commission
but
to
counsel,
act.
But, counsel, if the transition costs were recovered, as was said by opposing counsel, I would presume there's a difference of opinion that's happened.
There is a difference of opinion, Your Honor. If you look at the settlement agreement, it was very clear that Mon Power gave up all its right to charge any kind of generation transition costs. And it also agreed in the stipulation that these 8 mills of regulatory assets transition charge would end at the end of the market development period. They've never recovered any regulatory asset transition charge because there has been no switching. The rates that Mon Power has paid these customers, has charged customers throughout this period of time were the same rates the commission created back in 1995 and got frozen as a result of electric utility restructuring.
Well, when you say they're frozen, though, they could have been, for certain customers, decreased or not.
Could have been decreased.
I get the impression
nobody would quarrel with decreased rates.
All right, I get the impression that they were capped, but their recovery was based on the fact that there was no adjustment downward for specific customers as there had been in the past. And by maintaining the level of a cap, they recovered their, they recovered the dollars. The bottom line was the same.
It wasn't, Your Honor, for this reason. The whole issue of stranded costs was, of course, as it was in every other case, one of the hotly contested issues. Mon Power believed that the rates were not going to let it recover its stranded costs. Other parties disagreed and said, no, you will be able to recover them. The significance of the settlement agreement was Mon Power gave up its right to litigate that issue. It gave up that right as part of the settlement agreement and said, okay, we won't have any generation transition charges. They gave up that right in return for a package in the settlement agreement that the commission approved. And now the commission has reneged. Mon Power has done what it promised to do, and the commission changed its mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Trafford. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.